What a pleasure it is to serve the Lord. And I know I have been blessed. What a great choir special that was. If you would, with me tonight, if you turn to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis, chapter 12. And we have a mighty God that can turn away a hurricane. No matter if it's a Category 5 or Category 1, He still controls the weather. So please pray that the Lord will just turn that thing back out to sea. Tonight I'd like for you to go with me on a journey. A journey back some 4,000 years, back to the time of the book of Genesis, to one man. We're going to look at the man, Abraham, tonight. How the Lord used him and how He wants to use us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your love. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. And Lord, right now, dear Lord, we claim the promise that we know that You control the weather. And Lord, we pray that You would just move this hurricane back out to sea and not harm anyone. And Lord, we want to be a blessing to so many women here Saturday. And so many plans have gone in and so much hard work. And I pray, dear Lord, that You would allow that to be Your will. But if not, Lord, help us to accept it and to move forward and to replan. And know that You have a perfect plan and a perfect peace that You want to give us all. And Lord, we pray that You bless this night, bless this message. And Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that You would help now to honor You in Jesus' name. Amen. I struggled with this message. I wanted to preach it, but I wanted to preach another one as well. But then the last 2 weeks, every message that's been taught and preached has led to this message. And I told Pastor last Sunday, this is his part two. When he was preaching on our alignment will make our assignment. This is part two of that, really. And I was like, I don't want to preach a message that really ties in a lot to Pastor, but the Lord wouldn't let me move away from this. So this is his message tonight. So as we go on a journey some 4,000 years ago, this journey is going to take us to an ancient land, to a civilization that once stood on the earth. But in that civilization and in that community, we want to look at one family. And in that family, we want to look at one person who God had a purpose and a plan for. So let's come together for a time before the written Word of God was presented to mankind. We know it was settled in forever in heaven, but before it was presented in written form to mankind, we have this time in history. Come with me to a place that is considered the birthplace of civilization between the Tigris and the Euphrates River. Come with me to a time when God sought a certain man to step out by faith and follow him. So let's begin this journey together in Genesis chapter 12, the book of beginnings, and chapter 12, looking at verses 1 through 3. And the Word of God says, Now the Lord hath said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. We are blessed today because of Abraham's faithfulness. Now, if we understand this book of Genesis and this book of beginnings, and we understand here this really an occurrence of faith, and one of the earliest recurrences of faith is from this man Abraham, or as Abram as he's called here. Now, hold your place there and go with me to Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, we have one of the deacons of the church, the first church, the church of Antioch, Stephen, is giving reason for his faith. And he is standing up against great persecution. And he has been brought into the council of the religious leaders of the day and to the high priest to give an account for why he is teaching and preaching in Jesus' name. And you look at me in Acts chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Then said the high priest, Are these things so? He's talking to Stephen, Is this what you've really done? If you go back in chapter 6, you will see. And he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell." Stephen is giving an account to the Jewish religious leaders here just prior to his being stoned to death by this same council. And he begins his defense with Abraham. Why begin your defense with Abraham? Because that's where faith began for the nation of Israel. That's where the life of faith began for the Jewish people. And so he is going to begin his faith and begin his defense on this faith that Abraham had. But I want to draw your attention back to verse 2 here. And he said, Stephen said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran." Stephen was drawing his attention, his audience's attention, to listen to him. He says, "Men, brethren, fathers, hearken, listen to me." Now, I was in the Navy, and when you're on the Navy, there's a ship-wide announcement system, and when there's some kind of special announcement that must be made and all shipmates must hear it, they would get on this one MC, and they would say these three words before the message began. "Now hear this." That means something important is getting ready to follow. Now, of course, the captain would come on. He wouldn't say, "Now hear this." He would just bellow out his orders. But if any other special announcement had to be given, it was, "Now hear this." So that Navy announcer is trying to get the attention of the shipmates. Stephen here is trying to get the attention of his audience, men, brethren, and fathers. Now tonight, yes, I would like your attention. However, I do not want you to hearken to me. I want you to hearken to the God of glory. For it's Him that has the message. Hearken to the God of glory. I'm not like Stephen, say, "Listen to me." I'm saying, "Listen to God of glory. Listen to the God of glory." And so tonight, as we go back to Genesis and chapter number 12, we'll be there most of the night. It is significant to later events that we're taking this journey together 4,000 years ago. As we're taking this, it's significant to know some things that have happened already before Genesis chapter 12. Of course, we know the creation has happened. It wasn't evolution. It wasn't a big bang. It was the creation of God Almighty. He spoke it into existence. But then we have the events surrounding Noah and the worldwide flood, and it wasn't a localized flood, it was a worldwide universal flood that have already taken place approximately 10 generations before Genesis chapter 12. And then we have mankind has already assembled in the plain of Shinar and attempted to build a city and a tower that reached into heaven. God saw this attempt of mankind and confused their languages and scattered them upon the face of the earth. This confusion of languages occurred approximately 6 generations prior to Genesis chapter 12. This Tower of Babel, as it was still standing and was only about 140 miles from the home of Abraham. This was a prosperous land, this land of Ur of the Chaldeans that Abraham was from. It was a prosperous land. It was a land of prosperous crops of corn and dates and apples and grapes and pomegranates that grew in abundance, as well as ample pasture lands for their flocks and their herds. It was also a very important place of commerce in its day. Ur was not a primitive destination. It was a place of wealth. It was a place of intellect. It was a place of commerce. It was a place of art. It was a place of religion. But it was also known as a place of idolatry. Ur was a place known chiefly for the worship of the moon. But also they worshiped planets and the stars and the sun and the constellations. And as we on this journey enter the land of Ur, we are seeking one particular family, the family of Terah, a descendant of Noah's son Shem. Within this family, we want to zero in on one man, one son, Abraham. And when the God of glory appeared unto him, in his land, this land of idolatry, and how God used the same means to speak to Abraham's heart that he's still speaking to hearts today. So in Genesis chapter 12, we see, now the Lord had said unto Abram. Abraham had an audible calling from God. We know from the scriptures that no man has ever seen God at any time. We can look at John 1, or we can look at John 6, or we can look 1 John chapter 4, and we'll see no man has seen God at any time. You'll say, well, hold on just a minute, some have. Well, think of Moses on the backside of the desert. God used the figure of a burning bush to speak to Moses. You say, well, what about Joshua? Joshua, God used the captain of the Lord's host to speak to Joshua. And on we could go, showing how God used things or images to speak audibly to His servants. So what form did God use to speak to Abraham? Well, the Scriptures don't tell us. Don't specifically zero in and tell us how God spoke to Abraham, but it tells us He spoke to Abraham. And He spoke in such a way that Abraham knew this was just not some angel, this was not some priestess or some priest of the moon, this was God Almighty speaking to him. He knew he was hearing from God Almighty. So as we continue this journey, we see on this journey that God came to where Abraham was. The God of glory sought Abraham. He was specifically seeking Abraham and came to where he lived, into a land full of idolatry. God did not concern himself with the condition of the land that Abraham lived in, nor the condition of Abraham's family, which were idolaters. Nor was he concerned about the condition of Abraham. God was seeking Abraham, and he found him in the land of Ur of the Chaldeans, in this idolatrous land, in this idolatrous home. And God gave him an audible calling to come to the one true God. This calling, this audible calling, was given to Abraham from the God of glory himself. Well, the Bible teaches that in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham. But it also says that in verse 4, Genesis 12, 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. But also over in Acts chapter 7 where we were in verse 3, Stephen's given an account of Abraham's calling. He said, and said unto him, talking about God speaking to Abraham, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I will show thee. God spoke to Abraham. But also Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith, we have in verse 8 the Word of God saying, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go, went. God spoke audibly to a man to know that he is to be called to the one true God. The God of glory was calling Abraham to come unto himself. He was calling him with this calling, and this calling was first to turn his back on the false gods of his home and his homeland. This calling was to turn from a life of sight to a life of faith. This calling was to turn from the ordinary to the extraordinary. This calling was a call that turned from all that you know, Abraham, and trust me. That was the calling that Abraham got from God. God was not sending Abraham from himself with the words go, but calling him unto himself, come, come to me. Just as Jesus did in the days of the New Testament when he says to mankind, come unto me. Just as in the days of Abraham in the land of Ur, an idolatrous land, today God is calling us, come unto me. If you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you've not come unto Him. You're still with the ordinary. You're not with the extraordinary. You're still a life of sight, not a life of faith. You must come to Christ through faith. God comes to us where we are. Do you remember when He came to you? I was not in a good place. And He came to me there. He came to where I was. He comes to where we are. And although He will not appear to us visibly, and we will not hear Him audibly, He still is speaking to mankind through His Word and through the Holy Spirit of God. He's still drawing men and women and boys and girls to Himself. Mary Sidney's father, we've been praying for over 32 years, feeding him information. He got to the place where he was asking very good Bible questions. And he came to the place where he had, I have one more question. And we answered that question, and he called us the other day, and he said, I accept it. I believe. I will see you in heaven. God came to where he was. God came to where you were. And He's still calling mankind to Himself the same way. Come unto me. He's not concerned about our present condition. He's not concerned about what we've done in the past. He's not concerned what our minds are thinking of the future for us, ourselves. God wants us to come to Him just as we are. We do not have to clean up our act. We do not have to turn over a new leaf. We do not have to change our wicked ways. All we must do is surrender, believe, and receive. As the Holy Spirit tugs at our hearts and we believe by faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that His death, His burial, and His resurrection are the only means of obtaining everlasting life, we agree with Abraham. For in Genesis chapter 15, turn there with me quickly, Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, the Word of God says, and he, it's talking about Abraham, in Genesis 15, 6, and he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed in the Lord by faith. If we went to Romans chapter 4, we could show you from the Scriptures how mankind comes to the Lord God the same way all through history, through faith. So Abraham had an audible calling, but also Abraham had absolute promises from God Almighty. Notice again in Genesis chapter 12, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. That's going to require faith. And I will make, here's the absolute promises, and I will make, boy, what a promise from God, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. The absolute promises of God given to Abraham. He said, first and foremost, I will make of thee a great nation. Even though he had no children, and his wife was barren, due to his faith, God rewarded him with the birth of Isaac. Yes, I know he had Ishmael, but that was not the God's will. But God's will was for Isaac to be born, the promised child, when he was 100 years old. Isaac had a son named Jacob, who God changed his name to Israel. And out of Jacob and Israel, the nation was born through the 12 tribes, all related to Abraham. But if you look at Ishmael's life as well, a great nation was also raised from that through the Arabian people. But he also went on and said, I will bless thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. God blessed Abraham not only with Isaac, but with riches, protection from his enemies, and favor among men. He also said, I'll make thy name great. You know, Abraham is mentioned in 27 books of the Bible. He is mentioned by such people in the Bible as Moses, Joshua, Hezekiah, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Micah, Peter, Stephen, Paul, James, and of course, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Three religions of the world claim Abraham as the father of the religion: Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. It goes on in chapter 12 and says, I make of thee, thou shalt be a blessing. Oh, I about had a fit when I saw this. Look at Galatians chapter number 3. This is one we should underline, highlight, mark, something in our Bibles. Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Praise His name. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. But notice verse 14. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Well, I'm a Gentile. Most of us are Gentiles. And the blessing of Abraham has been given to us. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit, how? Through faith. All because of the faith of Abraham. But also back in Genesis chapter 12, he says, I'll give you another absolute promise. If this wasn't enough, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Do you have a family today? Your family has been blessed by the Lord because of Abraham. A song, the choir sung, we are blessed because, of course, through Jesus Christ and only because of Jesus Christ, but because of Abraham's faith and this absolute promise from God Almighty. The ripple effect of faith of one man. Have you ever thrown a pebble into a calm lake or pond and watched the ripples go out from there? The ripple effect of faith of Abraham. The written Word of God was penned by men as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. These men were all descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ was robed in flesh and became a man while still being God. He became the God-man, born of a virgin by the name of Mary, who was a descendant of the tribe of Judah, a descendant of Abraham. The men that the Lord Jesus Christ called unto Himself to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the world were descendants from Jewish families. Even Paul was of the tribe of Benjamin, from a Jewish family, relatives of Abraham. All of this is attributed to the faith of one man, Abraham. So we see the audible calling, we see the absolute promises of God, but lastly and most importantly, I want to show you the act of obedience that was required of God. None of this would happen unless Abraham acted out in obedience to the God Almighty. Back in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 4. So Abram departed. He departed, not like Jonah, away from God, far from God. No, he departed where God was calling him to. And Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. That's faith and obedience. Acts chapter 7 and verse 4, the Bible says, as Stephen is giving his defense to the council of Jewish religious leaders, he said, then came he out, talking about Abraham, then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed into him into this land wherein ye now dwell. He came out of the land just as God asked him to, told him to. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, by faith, look at that with me. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, the Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, notice this, not knowing whither he went. He acted by faith, trusting God to take him somewhere where he had no clue where he was going. He obeyed and he went. An act of obedience. Abraham was called of God to leave his family. He was called of God to leave his country. He was called of God to leave his idols. He was called of God to leave his kindred. He was called of God to leave the prosperous land of Ur. He was called unto God to believe by faith and to trust Him. One man. God zeroed in and one man to trust Him by faith. And then all of the families of the earth could be blessed. The Scriptures tell us that Abraham believed God and followed Him. When you come to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that requires a step of faith. When you step out faith and leave the things of the world, you leave your old life, you leave all of that garbage behind you and you come unto Jesus by faith. But now that you've accepted the Lord as your Savior and you've done that by faith, now He wants you to obey Him. He has given us His principles throughout His book to live and to show how we love Him and how we want to serve Him and how we want to be His child. Be holy, for I am holy. We can't do that without faith and without obedience. Obedience to God precedes direction from God. We must have the faith first. And once we have the faith, then we are to obey. And once we are obeying God, then God will give us direction for our lives, not before. If I've trusted Christ as my Savior by faith, and I'm not obedient to Him, I'm not going to get direction from God. I'm going to get direction in my own mind. I might get direction from other influences, the earth and the world and the principalities and the powers in the air. But if I want direction from God Almighty, I must obey Him. Obedience to God precedes direction from God. Are you in a point in your life where you feel like you're stumbling, you're fumbling, you're not moving forward, you're sort of stagnant in your Christian life? Well, check to see if you're obedient to God. Hearken to the God of glory and say, I will obey you in whatever you know your life where you're disobedient. Hearken to the God of glory and say, I surrender it to you. I will obey. And following the biblical principles of repentance, and God says He will forgive. And when He forgives, He's going to give you direction. Now it's your responsibility to obey those directions. If we were to review the remainder of Abraham's life, we would find that this was not the only time that God requested Abraham to have faith. Remember the birth of his son Isaac? The life of Abraham is just as a Christian's life today. It's a life of examples of tests that we must pass through obedience to God by faith. For without faith, what? It's impossible to please God, right? So we must have faith. And if we want to please God, we also must be obedient. These tests that come in our lives require faith in God to pass. And once we pass these tests in our daily walk with the Lord, another test is coming. Those of you that finish high school and you're out of school now and you're like, oh, those tests are over. No, there's harder tests coming. The test of life. Those tests are even harder than any algebra test or any history test or any English test. The test of life. Because the world is going to bombard you now with all types of temptation. And the Bible teaches us that we must remain faithful to Him who called us unto Himself. We must hearken to the God of glory and to listen by faith, obey, and He will give us direction. Once you pass a test by faith and obedience to God, guess what? Another one's coming. But this next one that's coming is going to require more faith. And you pass that one through faith and obedience to God. Another one's coming that's going to require more faith. What God is doing, as Joe so pointedly illustrated in teen church today, is He wants to fill us up with the Holy Spirit of God. Less of ourselves and more of Him. We can only do that through faith. We can only do that through obedience to God. If we're living those secret, hidden sins in our lives, God knows them, but He's not going to give us direction for our lives. We're still just going to fumble around, bumble around, be stagnant in our Christian life, feel like we're not getting any joy, any peace. You know, God knows the future for each and every one of us. He knows what we're going to do, and He knows what we should have done. God knows the future for each and every one of us. He knows the amount of faith that's going to require to pass each test that's coming in our lives. That's why He brings into our lives tests to build us up, to strengthen our faith. So that we would be ready for the day that large final exam comes of faith. A faith like Abraham to leave all that you know and to trust God to take you where He wants to take you and to use you as He wants to use you. What tests are you facing right now in your life? What problems do you have in your life? Is it because of your own lack of obedience to God Almighty? Are you feeling like you have no joy in your Christian life? Are you feeling like there is no peace in your life? Are you feeling like you're just sort of here? Check yourself and see where you're not obedient to God Almighty. Once you step out by faith and ask for forgiveness, He will forgive you. And then He will give you direction. Have faith in God and trust Him to see you through any issues and tests that come in your life. My life verse is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's hard to do. It's first hard to trust in the Lord. And then it's hard to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Boy, I have problems with that. Leaning on my strength, on my knowledge, on my abilities instead of God's abilities. The Bible says, lean not unto thine own understanding. But in all, how many? All thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall, that's a promise. He shall, God Almighty, the God of glory, He shall direct thy paths. Do you want direction in your Christian life? Go back to Genesis chapter 12, or go back to Acts chapter 7, or go to Proverbs chapter 3, and see what we must do, because this is a conditional promise. God is not obligated to keep this promise in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, unless we take care of the first part. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. Let us hearken to the God of glory and step out by faith and obey Him. Heavenly Father, oh, how I love You. And I know I have failed You. And Lord, I pray that You would help me not to grow and become stagnant, complacent, but always pushing forward, as I know all that are here would say, Lord, I want that peace. Lord, I want that joy in my life. Lord, I want that direction from You. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would speak to hearts tonight. Not anything I had said, but that they would hearken to the God of glory and see what great things you have in store for them in their lives. We're going to bless you and thank you for all that you do for us. For it's in Jesus' precious name I pray and ask you. Amen.